You know, the world is full of uncertainties. Like with the economy, right? There's some who say, hey, there's some positive things happening, but at the same time, we know there's a record number of people who have just dropped out of employment. They're no longer looking for jobs. I mean, they tell us that more businesses actually closed than new businesses opened in the past year. And we know employers are cutting back hours so they can get out of having to pay benefits. Uncertainties. We know that it wasn't all that long ago. We had troops returning from overseas, but now we hear they're returning to Iraq. Uncertainties. It seems like it was just a handful of days ago we were told the chances of Ebola reaching the American shores they're almost nil. And now experts are saying we could expect as many as 130 full-blown cases of it before the end of the year. I mean, it's no wonder people worry about the future. No wonder. And perhaps more people worrying about the future today than ever before. And with each headline, every news show, every government report seemingly focusing on bad news from around the globe, it's easy to see why so many are convinced the world's not in the greatest of shape. And that may be how some of you are feeling this morning about your own lives. Oh, the world's not in great shape, but neither is my life. If you're here struggling, maybe try to make ends meet. Maybe your marriage is in a bad place. Maybe your kids aren't talking to you. Maybe you're here with more aches and pains than you've got pills to take for. Whatever it is, these are troubles, Steve May says, that draw people to look for easy solutions, quick fixes, but unfortunately, many of them fail. As a matter of fact, they all fail if they're just easy solutions. Like how some try to run from their problems. They think they can run from a bad economy. They can run from a bad marriage. They can run from any kind of stressful situation. Like the person who thinks, you know, if I just move to a new place, then I'll find the job I need. Then I'll find the friends I crave, the love I've been looking for, and the happiness that's been so elusive. And of course, there's some who think they can stay right where they are and still escape their problems. You know, like the person who thinks, economy's so bad, there's nothing I can do about it. So I might as well just take another drink. Or I might as well just eat another tub of ice cream, and maybe I'll feel better. And of course, there's some who are into denial. And when it comes to their problems, they say, problems? I don't have problems. Marriage is fine. Oh, we may be in a little bumpy place, but it'll be fine. We'll get by. I'll get over it. No big deal. As a person deceives himself to believing he's just an optimist, not somebody who's trying to avoid having to deal with his problem. And lastly, there's those whose solution is to just give up. In the face of problems, it's a bad economy. I might as well just declare bankruptcy. Hey, marriage isn't all that I thought it would be. I might as well just move out. I can't get my child to do his homework. I can't even get him to listen to me. Why fight it? Hey, he'll learn for himself someday. Easy out solutions people opt for so they can avoid the painful process of having to deal with their problems. Of first having to think about their problems, because once they start thinking about their problems, then they have to confront themselves and maybe confront their fears, maybe their sin, maybe the seriousness of their health situation, whatever it may be. And once they consult it, confront them, then it means they have to think about taking responsibility for the situations that they're in. If the situations didn't just happen by themselves, that it's all due to choices they made as the reason why they're in the jam that they're in. Like the person who thinks, okay, the economy's bad. But you know, if maybe for the past decade I hadn't spent every dime, if I hadn't maxed out all my credit cards, maybe I'd have something to see me through these lean times. Or the person who's experiencing strains in the family relationship, who finally figures out that, you know, if I hadn't spent so much time golfing, fishing, garage sailing with my friends, I spent more time with my family, maybe things wouldn't be where they're at. Or maybe, just maybe, if it's a health situation, the person who starts to think, you know, all that smoking, all that drinking, all that consuming of fast foods without exercising, that might have more to do with my illness than God just suddenly deciding to strike me sick. And why is that such a scary thing to start to think about being responsible? Because then the next step is to have to act, to do something about their problems. And many people don't know what to do or even fear what dealing with their problems may entail. But the good news is, whatever your problem is, there's something you can do to make your situation better. And it's not about shifting the blame to someone else and waiting to be rescued. Maybe you've seen the classic cartoon of the individual who's sitting at the financial manager's desk saying, you know, I retire in a week from now, and I haven't saved a dime. Here's your chance to become a legend. We laugh, but isn't that what we do? We don't say it verbally, but we go to the doctor, we go to the marriage counselor, we go to the tax preparer, and we just hope beyond hope that they can do something to just get us out of the mess we're in. Just to get us out of the mess we're in. Not that there's anything wrong with going to someone for help from time to time. We all need help from time to time. But you need to have an attitude of being responsible for the situation you've created, for the problems that you're in, and you need to be committed to being part of the solution. To being part of the solution. So all this being said, if you're here today and you're fearful of the future, if you're feeling down, depressed, if you're just floundering in your personal life, then I want to point you to the passage that we read from Isaiah. The hope-giving words of God has given us to help you get your mind, to help you get your heart back on the right track so that you can start moving in the right direction. Beginning with the hopeful promise Isaiah shares, he says, God hasn't forgotten or given up on you or your situation. I mean, in the context, that's what the Israelites had worried. They were worrying about God having forgotten their situation, that he didn't care anymore. As in verse 27, Isaiah said, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak or complain, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord. My right or cause is disregarded by my God. That may be how some of you are feeling this morning, too, that God has forgotten you, your cause, your struggles. Like the woman who may be thinking, God doesn't care about the bad marriage I'm in. Or the worker who's thinking, God doesn't care about the harsh boss that I have to work for. That somehow God is busy caring for other things, other people, and too busy to care for me. And that's a feeling Isaiah responded to in verse 28. He told the Israelites, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint. The NIV says, he will not grow tired or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. The meaning of that is God hadn't given up on his people. God hadn't given up on the call that he'd given them. And the same is true for you. The same is true for you. God will not give up on you or your situation. I mean, think about it. God cared enough to create you. And God cared enough to make you the unique individual you are. He gave you special gifts. He gave you special talents. So God does not want to see you fail. And that may be the word of hope some of you need this morning. Because you might think God is tired of you. just as tired as he can be. If you're someone who has failed, who's sinned, then God to God and promised to do better, but then gone right out and sinned again, failed. But then you've returned to God, you promise, oh Lord, forgive me and I'll do better. But then you go out and you sin again. And so you think, God is so tired of me. But it's not true. God has not given up on you, and he won't. When it comes to you, when it comes to your progress, when it comes to growing you to be ever more like Jesus, God will not grow tired or weary. He won't lose his patience with you or your situation, because when Isaiah said his understanding is unsearchable, he suggested that God knows more about your situation than you do. That's right. Oh, you may know what you want, but God knows what you need. Oh, you may figure out some quick fix solution, but it's only going to be temporary, while God knows the road to the permanent solution. And he won't abandon you, even if you stumble at times. And if you read this, you understand, everybody stumbles. Everybody fails. He even says in verse 30, even youths grow faint and weary. Young men shall feel exhausted. NIV says they'll stumble and fall. This was Isaiah's reminder to never put too much faith, never put too much hope in yourself. God doesn't place his hope in you. Instead, God invites you to place your hope in him. Verse 31 says, those who wait on the Lord, NIV says, those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. Suggesting that if you're here this morning, you're in the middle of a difficult situation, you don't have to worry God's going to bail out on you, that he's going to abandon you, that he's going to grow tired. Again, he wants you to put your hope in him. He never grows tired, according to verse 29, and as a result, he can give you strength, renewed strength, when you do grow weary. Plus, God always knows what you need to do. We see this in James 1:5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men generously, without reproaching. The NIV says, without finding fault. In other words, if you come to him for help, he's not going to push you away. When you come to him for help, he's not going to make fun of you. Well, yeah, about time you came. You look at the situation you're in, huh? No, that's not God's way. So the real question is, will you go to God for help? I mean, he's already proven his love for you, right? The gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. His invitation, according to 1 Peter 5:7, is for you to bring your burdens, your anxieties. The word can be translated fears to him. And it says, because he loves you. He loves you. So whatever your problem, whatever your situation, will you bring it to the Lord? And you notice as the Revised Standard Version says, they that wait on the Lord. The NIV says, those who hope in the Lord. It shows those are synonymous thoughts. Waiting. Hoping. And you notice neither word means do nothing. I mean, the sense of this is there's a sense of expectation, but it's connected with being with God. It's connected with walking with God. Waiting, hoping, expecting, they're all connected together, and they infer being connected to God. Meaning expectation comes as you spend time in prayer, as you spend time in Scripture, as you spend time seeking God's will, and you wait for him to lead and provide. And in that time, that waiting time with God, that's a time he uses to change your outlook, a time he uses as you're in his presence to change your attitude, to soften your heart, so that you begin to think about your situation, so that you begin to confront maybe your sins, maybe your fears, maybe the seriousness of your illness, whatever it may be. and so that you accept responsibility for where you're at. And God supplies the direction you need for going forward to be able to step out in faith. Because you see, the more you get with God, the more God gets with you. And in the sense of the New Testament, that means the more Holy Spirit empowers you. The Holy Spirit comes in, convicts you of your sin, comforts you, and then directs you so that you experience the grace of God's mercy and forgiveness, so that you're able to move forward, so that you stop worrying, so that you're able to make decisions, so that you're able to act. Now, before we move on, I want to go back to verse 29. Where it says, God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. I mean, we hear that, but when we think about it, we say, you know, that so often flies in the face of what we think is reality. This doesn't always seem that God gives more power to the powerful, more strength to the strong. But Isaiah is saying the promise God gives us here is if you're in a place of weakness, if you're weary, then you're qualified to receive God's power. If you're in the middle of struggles, and it seems like you're in a losing battle, you know, a point in life where every step you take forward, it seems like you're knocked back too, then you are in a position to receive God's power. Now I know, I've never suffered the depth of depression, despair, that others have shared it with me, was what they've gone through. But like all people, I have had times in my life when I felt discouraged, when I felt depressed, I felt betrayed, when I felt God didn't have time for me, didn't have time to listen to my prayers. But these truths carried me through. First, according to God's word, the fact that he's already proven it with the cross, I knew that God loved me. God loved me. He loves you. I also knew that there was no one else I could go to that could do for me what God could do for me. Think about it when you're in the middle of a problem. Who can do what God can do? Nobody. And three, that even if I didn't feel him close to me, Jesus' promise was to be with me always. So I knew that whenever I felt that he was distant, I just tried to draw close. I'd get into his presence. I'd pray. I'd get into scripture. And at times I'd grab a hymnal and I'd just start to sing. Out loud, off key, it doesn't matter. And maybe it's more than once, maybe it's twice, three times, whatever. I eventually experience renewal. And I have the strength to go out and face the day. And he'll do the same for you. He'll renew your strength when you stick with him. And here's the thing, you don't have to drum it up on your own. He will give you the power of the Holy Spirit in your being to strengthen you to do the things that are before you, to do whatever is necessary to tackle your problem. And all you have to do is enter his presence and wait expectantly. As you pray and say, Lord, I need your strength. I can't do this on my own. I need you. I need you to obey in the future. I need your strength to follow your will. I need your strength to stop worrying, to start trusting, to move forward. And I say this, and I say do it, because ultimately God's power is the source of your greatest potential. It's the source of your greatest potential. Isaiah said in verse 31, those who wait for, those who hope in the Lord shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. Literally, they shall put forth fresh wings. They shall put forth fresh wings. As scholars tell us in ancient days, they believe that eagles actually sprouted new wings in their old age that extended their lives and kept them in flight. Or as the NIV says, it allowed them to soar. It allowed them to soar. So putting this together with running and not growing tired symbolized endurance. It says, suggests that God gives those who trust in him a renewed or increased capacity to do and handle things like never before. Seen in the light of the New Testament, the presence of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life gives the believer the capacity to do whatever God calls him to do, whatever he needs to do. If he's got a problem, he needs to go seek forgiveness, God can give him the power to do that. Including the strength, wisdom, endurance, and guidance to deal with all problems. A power Isaiah suggests can make a person soar like an eagle. To symbolize the freedom, the experience of God's power in a person's life gives the individual. It's a freedom from the past. It's a freedom from the guilt. It's a freedom from the limiting expectations of others. And while I said running symbolizes the strength you need for the long haul, Isaiah talked about walking without growing faint. And that's the sense of God giving us the patience, the calmness of spirit to deal with the routine of everyday life. To lift our spirits, to help us deal with everyday life, as life is often thought of as a journey. And if you can face life without fainting, it means God will give you the energy to thrive in your daily life. What does that mean? To thrive in your daily life, it means he can give you the patience, he can give you the capacity to love even the most difficult of people. That means he can give you peace even in the sense of crisis. To deal with everyday life, that means he can give you an unexplainable joy, even in the midst of grief, sorrow, and loss, a sense of optimism in the face of new challenges. Folks, you may be tired of all the bad news you hear each and every day. You may be tired of the struggles that have tempted you in the past to run, to just escape, to deny, to just give up. But don't. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, and he'll never let you down. Don't despair. Wait, hope, place your trust in him. Have faith, and he will empower you. Soar like angels. Oh, you think you got problems? You know, the Israelites went into captivity. Their days looked dark. But God protected them. He carried them. He blessed them, and he brought them out just as he promised. And he can do the same for you. Won't you bring your need to him this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know what's going on in our lives. You know what's going on in our minds and our hearts this morning. Lord, you give me this message to share. And I pray from your word that you are touching hearts. If there's some here who maybe are struggling to make ends meet financially, maybe they're struggling, wondering where they're at in life, what you have for them. They're looking for direction. Maybe there's some who are just depressed and down. They're just in the middle of that feeling. Lord, whatever it is, I just pray that they can bring it to the foot of the cross. Lay it at your feet, trust in you, and find their hope in you. Lord, that as they meet with you, you would strengthen them. Give them the ability, the capacity to deal whatever their situation is, to encourage them and to carry them so the day comes when they soar like eagles. Lord, pray, and we ask that right now. Again, while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, if you're struggling with a problem this morning, I just want to ask you to lift your hand right where you are. Nobody's going to open their eyes and look around. I just would like to be able to be praying for you if you're struggling with a particular situation right now in your life. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for those who shared this morning their particular need. I pray that as they trust in you, that they would experience a power like no power that any on earth can give, a power that only you provide, that you would strengthen, that you would encourage, that you would raise them up. Lord, that they would rejoice in all that you provide to them, the blessing that you give to them, and they would give you the credit in the place of the meeting. Lord, we pray, we ask it right now in Jesus' name. Amen.